How is everyone? I know what he would say. Don't get married. Yep. How is everyone? Good, good to see you all. I'm Pastor Nami for anyone who doesn't know me. So, we are beginning a two-part series, Our Story, Our Future. We do this every year. I don't even know if you're allowed to call it a series, if it's two. Are you? Is it a series? Okay. Our Story, Our Future. I'd like to actually start off by saying hello to people online. Specifically, I'd like to say hello to my daughter, Noctula. She said to make sure that I say hello to her. So hello, Noctula. She's in hospital, just had surgery. So yeah, but we just want to welcome our online community. And welcome to all the new people and all the regulars. It's nice to be in church. So we've come to that time of the year. We do this every year, Our Story, Our Future. And, you know, this is about our building projects, but really it's about the lives that get transformed through the process. Because we understand that church is about the people. It's not about the building. The building is the vehicle that we use to serve people, but really at the end of the day, it's about the people. So we recently came back from traveling overseas. And, you know, when you're traveling, you are reminded about being in transit, because you're constantly in transit, passing through one destination and another. And in life, we are constantly in transit. Whether it's flying in and out of work, we've got some people who do that. Whether it's living in and or going in and out of hospital, because you've got a loved one in hospital, moving from one job to another, moving from being single to being married, raising children, you know, dealing with whatever issues they're going through, dealing with bankruptcy, helping aging parents, the list goes on and on and on. We are in transit. But the biggest transit is that of passing through earth on our way back to our real home with our Heavenly Father, right? That's the biggest transit. So I just want to share from 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, at some point, most if not all of us experienced a moment in time where, because of receiving what God has done through the death and resurrection of Christ, we became a house of hope as individuals. And then collectively as a church, we also became a house of hope. That is our identity. And a house or a home is a place of refuge and security. And just like we put a lot of effort into maintaining and improving our homes, which most of us do, we must also invest in nurturing hope and faith within ourselves as individuals and within the church. That's what Our Story, Our Future is about. Our vision as a church, as Pastor Stephen shared, is about emerging into all that God has purposed for you. So this year, as you consider the Our Story, Our Future offering, you have to consider the following, or this main thing for your life: building yourself up as you build the house of God. We have to start with self, building yourself up as you build the house of God. So how exactly do you build yourself up as you build the house of God? It's very important that you build yourself in your faith, because this ultimately impacts the house of God. It impacts your relationships in church, because there is an interconnectedness of personal faith and the strength of the church as a whole. So if I give an example of a chain, just like a chain, the strength of a church, which is the body of Christ, is dependent on the strength of each individual's
faith. So we must never think that as an individual, my faith journey doesn't matter, or my faith journey is just about myself. Just like a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, the church is only as strong as the faith of its members. So the question that you and I ought to think about or ask ourselves in building in faith is, what type of person do I need to become to build our story and our future in faith? What type of person do I need to become in order to build our story and our future in faith? In speaking to his followers, or his disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ shared about prayer. And he cautioned them on how to pray, because he said to them, your Father in heaven already knows what you need. So therefore, this is how you should pray. And so in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, he says this. And this is the, I forgot to mention, this is the King James Version. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be their name. Their kingdom come. Their will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Most of us know that prayer. In order to build our story and our future, there's some foundational truths that we must get hold of. And based on this prayer, number one, we have to understand that unity is a priority. It says our Father, not just my Father. Our Father. We also have to understand the heart of the Father. The Father who wants to oversee. The Father who wants to love and to protect and to guide. Our Father. We also have to understand the holiness of God and how he used Jesus Christ, who came to be the bridge between God and men. We also have to understand kingdom mindset. These are foundational truths before we can build our story and our future. Kingdom mindset, which is more than it's about self, it's more than about my church, my denomination, my beliefs, my revelation, kingdom mindset. We also have to understand that it's about God's will and not my own. Because it's easy to come in and find a church doing a building project and think, oh, I'd be happy to join in on that, but not really understand those foundational truths. You're giving because maybe you've got some spare change, or you think it's a good idea, you think it's going to look nice, but I think it has to go deeper than that. So we need to have those foundational truths. We must appreciate our lives as a collection of moments in time. And we must always be ready to be a part of what God is building wherever we're transiting. So I just want to share a bit about a moment in time on a massage table. I love massages, especially remedial, because, yeah, my body is not always good. When we went back to Botswana, before we left, I sent a message on one of the family WhatsApp groups, which is just for the sisters and the aunties. And I just said, no, I'm sorry, I sent it to the whole family group, the bigger group, about 30-something people. I said, as I'm coming, I need to relax. I need somebody to take away my children. That was the main thing. And someone came up with a brilliant idea that we would go away to South Africa, neighboring South Africa, to a spa. And we did. We got into a bus and we went, I think, for one night. It was amazing. So one of the highlights of my trip was massages. You know, when God wants to speak, he doesn't care about the environment. He can speak through noise. He can speak through quiet. He can speak when you're on a massage table, trying to relax. So We had this trip in South Africa, and then we went back to Botswana, and one day I took the girls to get their hair done. So because I didn't want to see my youngest one screaming her lungs out while her hair's being done, I decided to go next door and check out, you know, what they were doing there. And they were having these massages, manicures, and I was like, you know what? I deserve a massage. So I booked myself in while they were getting their hair done. You know, it was just for half an hour, but it was worth it. So I'm lying on this massage table with this lady, and as I lie there and I'm about to just relax, I just sense the Lord saying, ask her about her faith. Ask her if she's a Christian. I'm like, not now, Lord. Like, this is supposed to be, you know, massage relaxation, but that voice wouldn't go away. So I'm lying there and I'm asking her, so are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And I think she said, I'm Jehovah's Witness. I think that's what she said. And so then I hear the Lord say, ask her about whether she believes in prophecy. I'm like, this is not good. So I asked her, and she's like, no, we don't believe in that, you know. I'm like, okay. Then he's like, ask her about her son and the problems he's having. So the way I asked it, I didn't say, tell me about your son. I said, so do you have children? She said, yes. I said, do you have a son? She said, yes. And I was like, is everything okay with him? You know, I had to be smart about it. Anyway, cut a long story short, she tells me about her son who's having problems with school and such that they had to transfer him from one school to the other, but there was problems, there was no support. Like, she tells me this whole story, and she was feeling quite discouraged. And I found out from just talking to her that she was feeling quite discouraged. But I felt the Lord, just before she told me all of that, to just tell her that God sees her faith. God sees what she's going through. And that God has her son in the palm of his hands. And so all these things, and God sees her sacrifice. And I knew in that moment that that was a moment in time. That was me being part of her story, her future, just by the words that I spoke. It wasn't my plan to go there, but I courageously, and I say courageously because I don't really like to do that with strangers, especially when you're having a massage. But I was being obedient, and it turned out that, yes, this woman was actually going through something, and, you know, she felt really encouraged. So, a moment of reflection. I want to share this. As I speak this, I would like you to kind of keep this in mind for yourself. Let this be your prayer. Lord, as I step into a moment, may I see that I am creating history. A moment in your timeline for me. One that can never be erased from my story. So may I be honorable. May I give all there is to give. And may God be glorified above all. May his name be lifted up as I step into the space created for me. For his name's sake. Amen. I really believe that's the attitude we have to have as we step into every moment in history. As well as building in faith, there is a reverence for the house of God, the temple of God, a sense of awe required for us as we build our story and our future. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. There is reverence and care we ought to have for our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. That spirit of truth, that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of justice, that spirit of peace and of joy. We are to care for the house of God with love and reverence, the same way we tend to respect and care for our physical bodies. Because the house of God, just like our bodies, is a sacred place to be honored. But who knows, we don't always care for our own bodies the way we would like to, right? When I first came to Australia, 20-something years ago, 1998, there was some level of immaturity. I was about 18, you know, that's my excuse. Not saying all 18-year-olds are immature. And I say that because I really hated the videos that they show of African children on TV ads with flies and mucus on their face. I hated that because that was foreign to what I grew up with. And I felt this sense of injustice, and it would bring up this sense of, okay, it's a black and white thing again. You know, cross, we grew up around that racist stuff, so we always kind of took things personally. I felt like they were trying to paint the wrong picture about Africa. I wanted them to show the multi-story buildings and the swimming pools and the restaurants that we grew up around, right? But one day God really convicted me. And he said, you're feeling all of this, but for those people that you're watching, that's their reality. And you need to appreciate and not judge those who are trying to help. So in our recent trip back home, it was refreshing. Time with family, exciting. We did so many things. It was challenging at times. But I got another dose of reality. You see, my mother lives in a beautiful village. And she attends this small church there, which she absolutely loves. She's an active member of it. And, you know, I really felt that God opened my eyes when I was there. He opened my eyes to two things. Number one, that the building does not matter. Number two, the building matters. I'll repeat that. One, the building does not matter. Number two, the building matters. So I say the building does not matter. You see, we were in this building. It was very, very tiny. And they were using chairs that, you know, they had to hire. And there was electricity, but it was just, it needed painting. It was not like what I was used to in the church that I used to go to back home. It was just different. Twice, I had the honor of sharing a message at this church. And so did Pastor Stephen. Regardless of how it looked, the faith of the people was strong. The passion of the pastor could be felt. The attention of the audience was captivating. The move of the Spirit was evident. The building did not matter. It was bigger than the painting and the cameras and the TVs. It was a moment in time that I got to be a part of. The building does not matter. Secondly, the building does matter. Because I got to see that here lay an opportunity to sow into what God is doing in that church. Provide for the painting. Provide for the renting of the chairs. Provide for the hiring of the plants. Kingdom mindset would say the people of that village will come to know Christ because that small church, because of the small church and what it was doing, and I could be a part of that. So, a moment in time. That line, a moment in time, came to me in the early hours of this morning as a reminder of something that happened. When I say something that happened, a song that came to me a few years ago. This song called He's Still on the Throne. I don't know if I've ever shared it, but we all know a few years ago COVID hit. It's still there, but for a lot of us, it's a thing of the past. But COVID was devastating for a lot of people. Lives were lost. Jobs were lost. You know, families were broken. So many things happened. I lost a few relatives to COVID. You know, there's just a lot of things that happened. And I remember I felt the song that God put in my heart. He's still on the throne. Now, I get shy sometimes. So I was thinking to myself, do I share the lyrics? Do I share the song? Do I share the lyrics? Do I share the song? And then I thought, Pastor Stephen says we should emerge. So I decided I'll sing the song. It's a very short song. But I say that because God reminded me that the songs that he gives me are not my own. Because I remember saying, Lord, you know, there's all these songs. I don't know what to do with them. This was many years ago. And he said, they're not your songs. They're mine. Don't worry about whether they sound good or not. It's in the message. So, a moment in time when life seems to stand still, the world has been shaken. How did it all come to this? Where do we go to from here? As each day we face heartbreak, our hearts have been broken as our loved ones are lost. Some days there'll be fears, some days there'll be hope, some days there'll be faith, and others just tears. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, he's still on the throne. Amen. Thank you. In the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, I invite you to prayerfully consider how you will give into the Our Story, Our Future offering. Consider how you can invest in the house of God, both financially and through your commitment to building up the community, the church, spiritually. You may feel the fear of commitment. You may have tears about where your life is, but he's still on the throne. Ask God for wisdom on how to invest your seed, because that's what it is. It's an investment. Because it's about legacy. We are in transit even in this church. Some of us will be gone next week. Some of us will be gone next year. Some of us will be gone in 10 years' time, but your legacy remains. The role you played in the story of this church, the legacy, it's about the generations, our story, our future. Your contributions will directly impact the ability to build up the church as a community of hope and faith. So let's please stand up as we pray. You know, last year at one of our staff meetings, I made a suggestion. I don't know if anybody remembers it, but I was so passionate about it. But we spoke about it that one day, and then it was gone. I said, you know what? I think next year we should do something about I love my church. Do you remember? No? Yes? I love my church. And that's because I believe that is the heart of most of us, that we love our church. We love coming here because of the people, not just the building. So As we pray this morning, we're praying that we would be obedient, that we would be courageous to do what the Word of God says, which says, be fruitful and multiply. That's definitely what is in the hearts of Pastor Stephen and I, that this church would be fruitful and multiply. So let us pray. Father, we just thank you that even though we are in a moment in time, Lord, that you are still on the throne. And therefore, Lord, you become our guiding light. I pray, Father, that for every person that's here this morning, Lord, of all the things that have been spoken, Lord, that a seed would just catch. They don't have to remember everything I said, but Lord, may they remember what's there for them, what they can get hold of and run with, Lord. I pray, Father, the people here, Lord, are going through all sorts of things, but you're still on the throne. The people here have lost hope, but you're still on the throne. The people here are living in fear about tomorrow, but you're still on the throne. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, you're still on the throne. So, Father, we just thank you for who you are. And we just commit our story to you. We commit our future to you. We commit the legacy of this church to you, Lord. We commit generations to you, Lord. From the youngest to the oldest, we commit the lives of the people of C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana to you. We commit the city of Fremantle and the city of Kwinana to you, where you have stationed us, O Lord. And I pray, Father, that where you have stationed us, may we plant good fruit all the time as we become fruitful and multiply. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.